Welcome to the Tap Room Exclusive. I'm Dean Zarbaugh. I'm here at Hansa Brewery with Corey Miller. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. You've given me a nice sampling of beer
yeah.
for me to try. This is my first time here. I'm really excited to be here. I've been hearing people rave and rave about this place, and I've
glad to hear.
I don't get out much. There's the excuse to do the show is for me to get out more. And especially with that new brewery passport, I'm sure that's probably been a huge thing for you guys.
Getting new people in here. We flew through the first box already of those passports to give out. So we're on our second one, and I got to call them soon and be like, we need more.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, definitely. a lot of people, I don't know how, but they still didn't know about us. Mm-hmm. This is just great exposure for us. And they're learning about all the breweries in the area. So if they're a big fan of one of them, hopefully they'll see us on there and at least try us and check us out and try our beer, give us a shot.
Yeah, and you guys are a European-themed, German-themed brewery mainly. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the decor in here, it's very like ski lodge.
Yeah. I love the interior in here. This is one of my favorite places, just the decorations and everything.
I had nothing to do with it, so I like bragging about it. I think they did a fantastic job. It looks gorgeous. The bar, it's got the natural bark siding. It looks amazing. So I love it in here.
And what drew you to like the German side of beer, European side of beer? What was it about that style?
So
styles.
I should probably back up a little bit.
Okay.
I started homebrewing, and then I got into a commercial brewery, which was Indigo Imp.
Okay.
And we brewed a lot of English style beers, put them on cask, and we did a lot of open fermentation, did Belgian styles.
Okay.
Then I worked with Platform. We did a lot of American styles, I'd say, and some kettle sours. And then I met Boris through Dan Maltz at Portside. He knew I was looking for a job. And Boris is like, yeah, can you brew German beers? I was like, oh, yeah, totally. When really it wasn't my forte, I'd say, but I love drinking them. But being here and just sort of forcing myself to do it, it's worked out for me, and it's becoming more of my specialty, I'd say.
Okay.
We're doing the system's from Slovenia, and that's where Boris is from. So he met someone there that was selling the equipment from this brewery that lasted 4 years. I believe it was the brewery's called Pivovarna Karos.
Okay.
And the price was right, and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna pull the trigger and start this brewery. So the equipment's really made for those European style lagers. Mm-hmm. So it's lended itself towards that and worked really well. But yeah, I try and keep at least 50% of our beers on tap, that German style. Mm. Just and I don't see a lot of people in the area just honing in on those old school styles. They're doing a lot of newer beers, which is great, and I'll do that on occasion too. Mm-hmm. But I just want to have just like a pilsner, something easy drinking, a Kolsch, so you could come in and just have a liter, and it's not gonna be overwhelming with crazy flavors and stuff like that. It's just easy drinking, perfect for summertime.
Yeah, and these have been so far what I've gotten to. I just had the Femdom Kolsch. And I've talked a lot about Kolsch's on the show. I've been fortunate enough to have a couple breweries on the show that have done Kolsch's. Mm-hmm. This is a fantastic Kolsch, and you were telling me it's an unfiltered Kolsch. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's like a Keller beer style as well.
And so how does that change the profile from a Kolsch brewed differently?
So Kolsch is very specific with its yeast. Mm-hmm. And when you filter it, you get rid of a lot of that character. So I think leaving it in helps it become more of a Kolsch, if you will. Even though in Köln, they typically filter it. Right. Most of them do, at least. I think this leaves some of that character in it. And I actually just had someone from Köln come in recently. They're like, this is more flavorful than what we typically have, which I appreciate.
That's a good compliment.
They were kind of like, yeah, I'm not crazy about all the beers over there because it's related it to like a Coors. And I'm just like, well, I'm glad you enjoy it. It might not be like, exactly how the beers are made there, but it's my version. And it's, I think, leaving the yeast in has so much more depth to the character and has like a little fruitiness to it and leaves some of the hops. It's not stripping all of that character out.
Yeah. And what was sticking to that German theme? Was that mainly the inspiration behind doing a Kolsch?
Exactly. So I sat down and was really thinking like, what's the spectrum going to be with these core beers? And I want to have all German, but a wide variety. And having that one was just, it was a no-brainer. It was the first beer that I brewed here. I just wanted something. Because a Pilsner, you know, it's a lager and it takes a long time turnaround. But a Kolsch is ale yeast a little colder, so it's a little quicker. That way I could keep up with demand, which the summer's been crazy. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But having it be ale yeast, and it just seemed to go well as one of our year-round beers. Light, easy-drinking German beer. And then our other core beers include our Black Flag Schwarz beer, so that's a dark German lager. And then we have the BSIPA, which is a German IPA. I don't know if that exists anywhere else, but it was like, I need an IPA and I want all German beer. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use these newer German hop varieties. Mm. There's a Hallertau Blanc, Mandarina Bavaria, and Hall Melon. And I figured using all those hops could make it a German IPA, and they were bred to compete with the American hops, and it's got so much interesting characters coming through in it, and I thought that'd be fun to add diversity to our year-round lineup as well, but keep it German.
And not a lot of people are really focusing on these kinds of styles, and it sets you apart. It gives you a place people are like, I'm in the mood for a Schwarz beer or something. There's not a ton of places around here making them. So it makes them have to come out to you, you know?
Exactly.
And that, I bet that's a really good, barometer for people coming in here, getting to try, tons of different stuff. You got a wonderful tap list and all the beers here in front of me are fantastic. What inspired you to actually sit down and homebrew? Like, what were you doing before that? Was brewing always what you wanted to do?
It wasn't always in my mind. I went to college and I went for music.
Okay.
One of my buddies in the program, he homebrewed with his father, and I was just getting into craft beer at the time. One of my first favorite beers was Left Hand Milk Stout. That really helped me get into it and realize that there was so much more besides, the macrobrewed pilsners.
Right.
And once I found out that you could do it yourself, I was like, all about it. And I'm asking him questions. He's letting me borrow his books, and I'm just reading up on it constantly. And I started brewing in the dorm room, actually, just very small batches. And it just snowballed, and I became very passionate about it. And one of my classes was canceled one day, and I found out there was a brewery near CSU where I went to college. And I'm like, I'm going to go over there and check it out. And it was one of those right time, right place things where he was looking to hire someone on, and I needed a job at the time part-time, so I started working there. I actually started working like for free, and then I did part-time under the table and just not much, but just enough to get by, and it was really my foot in the doorway, and that's what helped me get into brewing, and I just became more and more passionate about it and kept in the industry.
It seems once anybody gets involved and really gets deep into this industry, you get really hooked really quick. The passion really comes out. Like I've been drinking craft beer for a while, but I've really started working, selling in the industry about a year ago.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've been like, where can I take like a class to be a Cicerone? Like how can I,
always trying to improve.
And
learn.
I think that's a great thing that this industry offers is a way for people to really, it's more than just a quote unquote hobby.
Oh yeah.
There's so much to take in and so much to learn that, you can't stop learning, it seems.
Definitely. I used to manage the Cleveland Brew Shop down the street from us, and all the time, as soon as someone brews their first batch, they're like, this is what I want to do. They're like, I want to open my own brewery, and they're just, you go crazy for it instantly. It's just such a fun thing to do, and it's the community's great. You start brewing and you brew with friends, and it's a lot of cleaning, but it's a lot of downtime where you're just hanging out and you're always learning, like you said, which is which is what I'm all about. I always want to be improving myself.
So and it seems like a lot that that's pretty much a lot of people in this industry. They have set a pretty high standard for themselves. I mean, you got a business to run. You got your name on the door. You know, you gotta make sure the quality's up to snuff too.
Oh yeah.
And it's just been really cool to see, because I don't have the patience to actually do what you do. I just don't. I've done a couple, you have to be very patient. I've done a couple batches in like the 5-gallon buckets, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I just kind of mixed it. I didn't really do much else beyond that. My buddy then bottled it and all that and sent it out to us. And
Did you like it?
It was terrible. It was terrible. It was a blonde ale, and it was just not good. It was, I think we still have one bottle just sitting in there.
Cellaring.
It's actually in a fridge, because my dad just threw it in the back of a fridge, and it's got this old looking label on it, and it just looks bad. And I remember when we tried it, it just didn't turn out that well. But
did you have fun doing it though?
I did. Oh, it was okay, a blast. Cool. Oh, that was the main point. And the guy who was doing it for us, he started doing it on a bigger scale for a little while, and mm-hmm. not huge, but he would start, you know, doing like, he'd get Pepsi kegs and stuff, and like fill Pepsi kegs with some stuff. And he would do, he ended up making like a pretty decent like holiday beer. And that was kind of cool.
But came out like alcoholic Pepsi?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. I don't know how well a job he did cleaning the lines or cleaning the kegs, but that was basically it. So going back to the Femdom Kolsch, so, you know, it's a nice, light, crisp, easy drinker. You know, what would you say would be a good pairing option, you know, if someone wanted to come in and or sit down and eat while they're drinking this? What would you say would be
for food off our menu? That's a good question. I think a lot of the stuff goes pretty well with it. The Kolsch is fairly hoppy, and hops usually work well with more fatty food or just, you know, umami character. I think we do a lot of that here. So the schnitzel works really well. It's, tenderized and deep fried, and yeah. You know, side of spatzla, and it tastes really good together. Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I'm having the Hefeweizen right now, and this is really good too. I mean, like I said, I haven't been out here, so this is all 100%, you know, authentic,
all brewed here. So, you know, good or reaction. Bad, let me know. I appreciate honest feedback. I want people to, you know who I am, and feel free coming up to me at the bar and giving me feedback and seeing what's going on in my life and talking to them too.
You know, I found, and correct me if I'm wrong, I totally could be, a lot of American wheats focus more with the hop, and German styles go more towards the yeast again, like the true European style.
Yeah,
is that a true?
I'd agree. Yeah.
And this is because I get a lot of people asking me, they don't like, they've had a couple American wheats or whatever, and they're like, it's not. I like the German style Hefeweizen. This is a fantastic one too, where
Thank
it
you.
Gives you that nice clove and some banana in there.
I have to say, it's one of the beers previously where I'd look at it and be like, you know, it's kind of my weakest beer right now. I'm just, a lot of these beers I've honed in where I'm like, I'm happy with it. I'm loving how this is tasting. This is the latest batch of it. I'm much happier with it now. But it's one of those, like, it's been my white whale where I'm just trying to hone in on it and get it right. And I think I'm going to make a few more tweaks, but it's near where I want it to be.
What would have been some of the challenges with it, if you don't mind?
Well, you have to think yeast is a microorganism that acts on its own. And sometimes, you know, as a brewer, you nurture it the best you can and try and get it to produce flavors that you want it to. But sometimes it doesn't. So it's been just tricky getting it where I want it. And I've switched up the mash procedure and some of the grain and percentages. And I even changed the yeast a few times. But I think this has been the closest to where I want it to be. A few more tweaks, and I think it's going to be spot on. So I'm happy about it.
I think that's kind of some of the fun in it too, is the evolution of your own beers and seeing where, you know, it started off. It might not, you might think maybe it's drain worthy, and then it ends up being something that's really good.
So sometimes a beer that I don't like, people love, and it kills me, but I'm just like, you know what? It's, people like it. It's selling. Okay. But
It's bringing them in. Well, let it slide.
Yeah. So it's about that interaction with the
right
customer who's coming in, and you want to see what they like. And you know, I have my own personal preference, but that's only me. So right. I'm brewing for other people. So I have to take them into account. That's why I always want honest feedback. But it's nice because we have a mug club, and they're just super loyal customers, and they're great people. And, you know, just talking to them, because they get to, they're in here all the time. They're seeing the evolution of all these beers and when it's a new batch and all that stuff. And they're telling me, which I appreciate. And they're really digging this Hefe right now.
Nice. That's awesome. Before we head out for our first part here, anything else you wanted to get out about the Femdom Kolsch or the Hefeweizen before we head out?
Not too much. We've won several awards for the Femdom Kolsch, which I'm really happy about. We got a bronze at the U.S. Open, which is a huge competition.
That's
over
awesome.
6,000 entries. So I'm really, really happy about that and how it's been doing. I get a triple batch this next week, so we're just flying through it right now, which is awesome.
That's great. That's awesome. Get down to Hansa Brewery, try the Femdom Kolsch, try the Hefeweizen, try everything. And tune in next week as we go over another beer here at Hansa. Have a good one, everybody.